Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. Robin Tralee says, going back to the Asher's cake story, that as you probably know, the UK Supreme Court ruled that there was no that Asher's within their rights to refuse baking that cake. Now, as you heard, we were also talking to John O'Donoghue, and John O'Donoghue, well, he didn't say it was definitely going to happen, but kind of said he wouldn't be surprised if it didn't go to the Supreme Court in Europe. Now, hi Sean, we have a gay prime minister, same-sex marriage, but you still can't have your cake and eat it. The proof is in the pudding, says Rob. And I'm only reading out that text to represent 9,000 other texts that made similar jokes, some of them far worse than yours, Rob. Take comfort in that. Also, on a more sad note, as you've been hearing, it's Emma Vic-Mahuna's funeral today. Her funeral cortege has been met with a crowd applauding her outside Leinster House following the funeral service at the Pro Cathedral. Anyway, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Mairead, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
So the budget yesterday, how was it for you, darling?
Well, look, it's our editor has described it as a small step in the right direction down a very long road.
When's he running for office?
So I thought that was kind of, you know, really summing it up. I suppose, look, I don't know if the farming, I haven't read much about what the farming organisations are saying, but certainly on the first look at it, it's trying to do something for, I suppose, farmers, particularly low-income farmers who are in suckler and sheep production. Now, whether it's done much for to help over the with the damages over the summer and all the extra costs and everything like that, that's yet to be seen. But one of the schemes that farmers, particularly along the West Coast and the South West, would be involved in is the ANC, it's called. It's the Areas of Natural Constraint. And it's hill farming. You know, the fellas who are like, you know, you go up the West Coast of Ireland and you look at these little dots of sheep on the hills. It's the guys in that sort of a situation. Now, they've got very restricted stocking rates and everything now, and there's not too many people doing it anymore. Indeed, I was down in Kerry. I can't think of the name of the part, but we're talking to farmers, and there's only two people going up like a range of mountain now, where in the past there might have been 10 or 15 farmers. Yeah. So if they went up for just even to collect the sheep to bring them down for shearing or to wean the lambs or to just double check them, there'd be enough people going, whereas now with only two going, you know, there's even health and safety issues involved in putting one person up to the mountain. So anyway, the other areas, it's hilly areas, it's severely disadvantaged areas, you know, land that maybe is very heavy, very rushy, very, you know, not really where you could put in a ban of cows and let them off. I mean, if you did, you'd end up with a ploughed field. So the areas of natural constraint, they're after getting an extra 23 million. And this is on top of 25 million they got last year. So in total, over 2 years, they've, you know, it's 48 million extra. Now, it's brought it back to the pre-recession levels. So these schemes would have all been cut when we started going into, you know, the trouble that we did there for the last few years. But anyway, now we're back to the status quo there. And that's certainly going to be bragging points for Fine Gaelers, Fine Gael TDs and councillors going out to meetings, because Fianna Fáil would have done the cuts originally. And now it's all come back. And, you know, it's very much between those two parties when you go out the country.
Well, just to anticipate inevitably that some of the texts we'll get, because budget time always riles people up.
Yes.
VHS shops were allowed to go out of business because there was no call for it anymore. Is there a call for, you know, farmers who can't really produce, who have their sheep up mountains? So how many can they produce?
I suppose it's because of, you know, and again, some people might snigger, but it's because of the environmental goods that an awful lot of farmers along particularly the Western coastline would deliver. And there's a real example of that now coming up next week, not this weekend, next weekend, down with the Burren Bio Festival and the work that they're doing for nature there. I mean, you could say, why would farmers bother farming the burn? But what they discovered when they tried to take the livestock off the burn was that the burn turned into just all the bully plants took over. The orchids and the beautiful flowers and the absolute gems that are on the burn started to disappear. and they got the livestock back up on it. And so now this, you know, next weekend down in the Burn, they're going to have that Winterage Festival where they bring the livestock back up to the top of the limestone ridges, I suppose you call them, and then they'll graze their way back down. Now, without kind of farming activity on the Burn that we know and love today just wouldn't be there. Wouldn't be there. And in a way, that's also what you see right across the country, because the impact of farming, you know, every euro a farmer has, there's equivalent nearly 4 euro generation to the economy, in the local economy, because the money is all spent there. Like this 23 million, you know, that's not going to be spent going off to, you know, the Costa del Sol or, you know, buying a super fast Jeep or something like that. And when you're actually talking about it, I was trying to do some sums on it, and I reckon you're talking about 250 euro per farm, because there's about, what, 90,000, no, is it 23,000, no, 90,000 farmers involved in the scheme. So, you know, there's an environmental good, there's a social good there by having people economically active. And we estimated that we were on the Save Our Suckler campaign. Now, that campaign, they were looking for 200 million there, because the suckler cow produces the beef breed, and we need good beef cattle to sell, because if you don't have beef farmers around, well, then you don't have a hell of a lot of other people. You don't have the hauliers around. Mm. You don't have the vets. You don't, you know, there's a knock on impact right across the board. So 200 million or 200 euro a cow is what was being campaigned for, but they got 40 euro for the suckler cow. So you might say again, like, why bother? But look, it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't of valuable use to the local economies of that region.
Yeah, so and that's what it's about. It uses more than just looking at it in the discrete sense, like, as a business.
Yeah, like it's far less. We subsidise or support the likes of Google and Facebook and all these trendy companies, and Apple, and we know how much tax is outstanding there. But we are prepared to actually suffer that in order to create these jobs. Mm. Now, this other money that farmers are getting along the West Coast in particular is only like crumbs off the table in comparison to the sports that are really being given to the high tech companies, who you think could manage it themselves.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're global companies, whereas small farmer over the West, he might be the postman, you know, he might be working in the mart 2 days a week, you know, he might be doing a little bit extra. But keeping the livestock there is keeping the place open.
I would have thought, though, that given that this is the last budget before Brexit, that the government might have thought about agriculture a bit more, because of some supports it might need.
Yeah,
especially if it all goes horribly
if it all
wrong.
Goes, yeah, but I mean, for instance, Bord B now got an extra 5 million. Their grant is now 46.6 million. But that they've had a 60% increase since 2014. Now, that's prior, before anybody ever heard the word Brexit. Still, it's 60% increase. Now, they're our main food exporter, well, especially meat exporter. Our meat marketeer. They're the people that are out looking for the markets. They've been on a big hiring spree there in the last couple of months, trying to get a lot of new people in to put people into the markets. So I think there's certainly been support there. Until we know what kind of Brexit we're facing, I don't know what else can be done at the moment. Mm. I mean, you know, that we're talking about, say, Rosslare Port. 70% of the exports that go through Rosslare Port are food. But some of that's going to the UK. But it needs this particular status for to be able to export to third countries, and we need to be doing it now. It needs a lorry park, more facilities, to be able to get stuff out and speedy.
A hard or soft Brexit.
Yeah,
trucks
traveling
through via the UK to get into Europe. Yeah. That presumably is an option. That'll be far less attractive.
Sure, we've no other way. There's three legs to the stool. Farmers who produce food, processors who add value to it and create the yogurts or the cheese or whatever it is that we're exporting. And then how do we get most of it out of the country? We put it on lorries. We put it on trucks. Mm. And we send it out through Dublin Port over to Holyhead, down through the whole of England and out over to Calais, or out through Folkestone on the train. And that's how we get the stuff to market. So Verona Murphy is the head of the Road Hauliers Association. And I mean, she's expressed grave concern about the readiness of the ports to be able to get stuff through in a timely fashion. you know, I have a report. I mean, I took the train and everything to Calais and saw the kind of delays that are in the pipeline there already pre-Brexit. So, you know, it's pretty nasty. So what it's going to be like afterwards. But, you know, Rosslare Port needs to be ready and Dublin Port absolutely need to be ready. You know, you can't have situations where ferries are going out at the same time, all being blocked up at the other side. And, you know, very much the English or the British have invested in the south coast of England. They're not investing on the west coast in terms of getting product over to Ireland or getting the Irish product back into the UK. So that's maybe, but I mean, it's when we know what we're going to be facing. Like, you know, there is kind of plan A, it'll all be right in the night. And plan B,
Yes. You know, but, and we still don't know. I mean, we don't know how much of it is actually, gamesmanship at the moment.
But look at, you know, there's a bank loan scheme that was announced in last year's budget. It has never been, not a bank loan, it's a loan with very low interest rate for farmers. It was announced in the last year's budget. It hasn't been implemented yet. It's been announced again in this year's budget. I don't know whether it's an extra allocation or whether it's the same thing from last year. But that would certainly come in very useful. There was 150 million allocated in 2016 and it absolutely flew out the window. So again, you know, where's that money being spent? It's been spent on slats, on cement, on galvanise, on steel. You know, it's diggers. It's all of this sort of stuff that money has been spent on, and that keeps the money flowing in the local economy.
In the couple of minutes we have left, tell us about the Farming for Nature project. This is kind of
Farming for Nature. Yeah, there's an award scheme out there basically, and what it's trying to do is showcase farmers who are really going beyond what they need to do for to help nature along. Now, it's everything from pollinator strips. It's bird cover so that there's plenty of feed for them for the winter time. It's not cutting hedges. It's creating ponds, wetlands. It's bird boxes and bat boxes. It's using, you know, grazing areas like, say, Achill Island, where you've got, you know, really natural lamb being produced. Even Mary Robinson, I hear, she said she's susceptible to a bit of lamb from the west coast of Mayo, even though she's now a vegetarian. but anyway, there's about 150 environmental professionals have nominated, you know, lists of farmers for these awards. So, you know, there's farm knockers out there who you think now farmers would do nothing, only polluting the country. But these are 150 environmental professionals, and they have nominated a long list. It's been cut back to a short list of farmers from right around the country who are going this extra mile when it comes to nature. And it's open to the public to vote on it. Let me see, what's the address? It's Farming for Nature, www.farmingfornature.ie. There's little 5-minute videos, or just about 5-minute videos, on each of the farmers and what they're doing. And you can pick it up there, www.farmingfornature.ie. And the closing date is Thursday week at midnight. And the awards will be presented at that Burn Bio Festival, which take place that weekend. So we're looking for the general public to kind of look in at these videos and see what's happening. And the hope is that other farmers will kind of take notice and follow suit. And that's generally been the way.
Because they probably don't have to do that much. It's just being mindful of certain things.
It's being mindful, you know, and a couple of them now, you know, are extensive dairy farmers. And that's not necessarily where you think, you know, nature was being minded. Yet they can prove by, you know, hedgerows, as I said, the pollinator strips, you know, keeping some wetland there, bird cover area, all of that is very, very nature friendly. And it doesn't take up a lot of space, and there's an awful lot to be good to be got out of it.
Yeah. Paul says, actually, about the burn, and Raid loves the burn. The burn acts as a natural thermal conductor.
Yeah.
It's a big underfloor radiator for grazing cattle.
Yeah. That's and lovely. You see, most people think they'll take the cattle down from the hills in the wintertime and put them on the lowland or put them into sheds. But in the burn, this is the extraordinary thing. They go up the hills because they're really comfortable, because it's the stone is warm and the grass has grown, because they have been bringing them down the hills during the summertime. You know, they've gradually been coming to the lowlands, whereas now they head straight back up. And it's a wonderful festival, you know. They'll be driving the cattle. You can take part in that cattle drive on Sunday, I think it's the 28th, down in the burn. You know, just imagine, you're doing something that has been done for thousands of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, the custodians of that are the farmers in the region.
Mairead, thanks a million for coming in to us. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.